Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Skin cancer, it's the most common type of cancer in this country. There are around 13,000 new cases diagnosed every year, and this is Melanoma Awareness Month, so we want to take a closer look at the signs and the symptoms of skin cancer and find out how we can keep our skin safe in the sun. So consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman is on the line now. Good morning, Rosemary. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Claire.
We get very little sun relatively here, but we have one of the highest rates of skin cancer in the world. Why?
That would largely be genetics. We are very pale skinned. Most of us have type 1 or type 2 skin, and we really can't tolerate the sun at all without getting genetic mutations and damage to our DNA. And Claire, we actually get more sun than people realise. So I'm glad you said that we get very little sun. Even today, which is very cloudy, there's an awful lot of UVA out there coming through the clouds damaging our skin.
Mm-hmm. And would you say we are not good at making sure we're protected at all times?
Correct. Absolutely.
So take us through what that protection looks like.
Well, if we were to be purist and take it on a sunny day, I think people find that easier to relate to. The best protection would be to avoid maximum radiation times, i.e. in Ireland, between about 11 and 3. So, for example, if you're an at-risk person or if you have had skin cancer or melanoma, you might choose to do your outdoor sports before 11 and after 3 in particular. The best protection is actually covering up and clothing. Being in the shade, although don't forget, sun reflects. The rays reflect off the ground, off grass, off sand, off water at different percentages. So just sitting in the shade alone without sun protection is not enough. Wearing a broad-brimmed hat, again, a sports cap is better than nothing, particularly for balding people, but a broad-brimmed hat will also protect the ears and the back of the neck. And glasses, wraparound glasses with UVA and UVB protection, not just coloured glass, will help protect the eyes and reduce cataracts. So lastly, I'm going to say, put on your SPF. So we mustn't just rely on slapping on a bit of cream and then going out for a walk or going out for the whole day and getting burnt.
When we are checking things that are on our skin, we might be used to seeing a mole, we've had it all of our lives, and we're told, aren't we, watch out for changes. But what are we actually looking for?
Okay. Well, I think, to be very broad, any change at all. If something catches your eye and you're just not sure, get it checked out. That would really be the rule. What we say are to watch out for the A, B, C, D, E, and F. So A would be asymmetry. Most moles, say you've had a mole all your life and it's fine and suddenly a little bit is sticking out the side. That's asymmetrical and might suggest change. The border, again, an irregular border rather than a smooth, well-demarcated border. C would be for colours, many colours, particularly over 3, as opposed to a nice, evenly pigmented, bland lesion. D would be diameter, and an easy way to remember this would be, again, as a broad guide, larger than a shirt button. That's roughly larger than 6 millimetres in diameter. The bigger moles are at a higher risk, and if your mole is enlarging. E is evolving. So if there's change, if the mole is growing, even sometimes if the mole is getting very irregular in colour and starting to disappear, that can often be a bad sign. And F is a simple one. It's called funny looking, and we call it the ugly duckling sign. So when we're doing a full skin examination, most people will have all of their moles looking like brothers and sisters from one family. And when one sticks out as looking different, it's called the ugly duckling sign. It's not like the rest. That can be a very good indicator. So what I say to people is, if you have anything on your skin that is new or is changing for 4 to 6 weeks, get it checked out. And help yourself by taking a photograph of it so that you can look at it again in a couple of weeks' time. I use people's smartphones all the time to get them to monitor their moles, take photographs of their moles, etc., and then they've got a record.
And if you have a mole that has changed in any of the ways that you've just explained, Rosemary, is that the time then to go to a medical professional and have all of your moles checked out, have a full mole mapping done?
Claire, the word mole mapping is confusing to people out there, because people often say to me, do you do mole mapping? Some people mean by that, do you do mole photography, where you store all the images and you use artificial intelligence to compare them? Or other people consider mole mapping to be when I do a full skin examination. So we'd always start with a full skin examination, straight into the GP with any concerns on your skin, and they will do a full skin examination where indicated. And if we then see that the patient has a large number of atypical moles, some people advocate photography. I myself do like sending patients for photography, mm-hmm. because if they've got literally thousands of moles, it's just very hard to pick up the ugly duckling.
Now, I have a few really interesting questions. Martina says, some of the sunscreen brands don't have UVA or UVB stars, but they display the factor. And she wants to know, are the star ratings important?
Yes. So the factor refers to the UVB, but they must have UVA. Nowadays, I'd be surprised if you can even buy them without the balance, the ratio between UVA and UVB. So yes, you do want the maximum number of stars, which is your UVA. And then with regards to the UVB, people often say, well, what's the difference between factor 15 and factor 30 and 50? Properly applied, factor 15 will actually block 93% of UV light from getting through to the skin. Factor 30, 97, and factor 50, 98. So that may not sound like a lot, but the bottom line is almost nobody applies enough. The average application is 30% of what you should be applying. So when it comes to the chemical sunblock, it's very important to put it on 20 minutes before you're getting exposed to the sun so that it is time to be absorbed and work, and reapply it, put on a second coat.
Okay, put on a lot of it. Now, here is somebody who has a skin graft on my face, they say, because of a cancer spot, and they want to know, how do I take care of this in the sun? I tend to put on factor 50 and then I cover it with makeup for camouflage.
Well, the camouflage is a great idea to look better for the patient, but I would treat that skin graft the exact same as the rest of her skin. It's still skin. It's her own skin, just from a different part of her body. Mm-hmm. So all of her, and she's had a skin cancer, so all of her should be covered with a hat and frequent application of the highest sun protection she will tolerate. The best are the ones containing zinc oxide with iron oxide, because they block the broadest spectrum of UV light.
It's a total block. Now, Nicola has a question, Rosemary, that I think lots of people will want the answer to. Can you put SPF on your face before your serum and your moisturiser? What's the order?
The order is usually to use the lightest product that's going to soak in first. So if you're going to put on a thick, creamy SPF, there's probably no point in putting a serum on top, because it probably won't get through the SPF. So I would start with the lightest, most liquidy, most water-based product, which will depend on each individual's preference, and build it up from there. So, well, again, I would be very much into belt and braces, as you know, Claire, and I would use a moisturizer with a factor 50, and then I will put another layer of a physical sunblock on top of that before I put on a little bit of makeup.
Okay, that's the whole belt and braces there, Rosemary.
Belt and braces, that's it, Claire.
Thank you very much. Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist.